You're listening to Ask Me Another from NPR and WNYC. I'm Jonathan Colton, and here's your host, Ophira Eisenberg.
And this week, we're celebrating an ancient form of storytelling, the written word. And speaking of the written word, we have a special guest with us. She's performed on stage and screen, starred in the HBO series Looking, and has published two comedic autobiographies. Her latest is called Misfortune, Fresh Perspectives on Having It All from Someone Who Is Not Okay. Welcome, Lauren Weedman.
Thank you. Hello.
Hey, thanks for being with us on Ask Me Another.
I'm glad to have been asked.
Now, you have a new solo show called Tammy/Lisa, From Misery to Meaning. Can you tell us what that's about?
So without being overly blabby about it, so I was adopted, and when I was born, apparently, and I know my birth parents. I met them when I was 20, and they're not together. But apparently, when I was born, they were both allowed to choose a name to put on some, I don't know, I guess a fake birth certificate they were just going to tear up. And my birth father chose the name Tammy, and my birth mother, chose the name Lisa. And they didn't work together on this. They both just individually turned those names in. So if they would have stayed together, they're like 15 years old, but if they would have stayed together and kept me, I would have been Tammy Lisa. And I was born in Terre Haute, Indiana, but I was, adopted in Lauren Huntington Weedman, I was delivered to the golf course, dropped right off to the country club. And so the idea was like, no matter how I've tried to avoid certain, your real identity, that like Tammy Lisa has been lurking, that there's two parts of myself,
right,
basically.
I share something with you, which is we have both performed, autobiographically on stage and written about it. Now, I always get people coming up to me and saying things like, "You're so brave."
That was constant when I was on the book tour, especially.
Do you find it slightly a negative response, or do you like it?
When I first heard it, I got nervous, like, am I brave? Is there something I don't know?
Right.
Is there something behind me? And then as it kept coming up, I was like, well, wait a second. Would you say that to a guy? Mm. And then I got sort of like, it's misogynistic, because I found it odd that just writing about my life was suddenly something so brave, when all my, literary heroes have done that a lot.
That is a very good point. I mean, I had also people asking me what my mother thought of what I did, which I did take that as a little bit of, I don't think you would ask a guy, what does your mom think of
right.
what
Actually,
you do?
It is odd, because to me, I just want a good story. And the things that I wrote about was because I thought they were the best, they were a good story.
And the title, fantastic, Misfortune, Perspectives on Having It All from Someone Who Is Not Okay. It's a collection of comedic essays. Now, on a scale of 1 to 10, how okay are you?
I would say I'm a solid 8.
Whoa!
Yeah, and I'm, when I started writing the book, I was way less okay. It was very much embracing, like, I'm, what a mess, what a, and then as by the time the book was done, I've gotten better. Because my marriage was falling apart when I was writing it, so I wasn't a solid 8 like I am now.
Well, I find that very interesting that you started writing this book around 6 years ago.
That's right. Oh, God.
But it changed. So you were writing one particular story, but then halfway through, or at a certain point through, you had to do a big revision to it.
Yes, I started writing one book, and I was the comedic crazy essays, and I felt like I couldn't, that there was no depth to any of the stories, and I was very frustrated by the book itself, and I turned in a draft, and it felt so not it. And it turned out it was because I didn't know what was happening in my life. Like, I kept trying to, like, one of those things where you're so in the story that you can't write it yet.
Sure. Yeah, you have no hindsight.
Exactly. And I didn't even know what my story was. I thought the story was like, I think it just turns out that I just can't seem to connect with not just my husband, but anybody. Like, I don't think I understand anything anymore. Like, everything was sort of falling apart. And then in the middle of the book, I found out about there'd been this like long-term affair that had been going on. And then suddenly I saw the story where I'm like, oh, this is the story that I'm in. And it actually helped me write all the different chapters of the, or all different essays, even if they weren't exactly about my marriage, because I could think and see clearly.
So in this book, you reveal that you are actually the youngest member of Weight Watchers. You went in the 7th grade. Is that legal?
Yeah, no, my mother served 4 years in the California Correctional Institute. No, I don't know if there is an age. All I know is that it was very, isolating as a 7th grader to sit there and watch. I mean, everything that was talked about was like, when you're packing your kid's lunch and it's one Twinkie for them and four for mama, and I remember thinking like, well, I don't pack my lunch for my child. I'm 7th grade. And I did a lot of sneaking off and going across the street to Wendy's to get a Frosty.
No, oh, that's perfect. Yeah, I was going to say, how could you relate to all of those adult stories? But that's,
no.
You were like,
I just gained weight and it made me hungry. Every time they'd show like the forbidden foods, I was like, oh, note to self, get that as soon as you're out of here. Find a little Debbie.
Now, would you say that you are more emotionally or candid about your life on stage and on the page than you are, let's say, with friends and family?
I think it's about equal, mm-hmm. I believe. I don't, and if anything, I was surprised by how hard it was for me to describe being sad. I guess because I go to the comedic stuff very easily.
Sure.
And this is such an old thing, right? Like, so hard for the clown to cry kind of thing.
Right.
But man, is it true, because it was really difficult. I didn't want to bum people out.
Oh, interesting. Right. And so, and you wanted to be able to use the comedy to take them to a different place.
Yes, I wanted to entertain.
Lauren Weedman's book, by the way, is Misfortune, Fresh Perspectives on Having It All from Someone Who Is Not Okay. Lauren, are you into an Ask Me Another challenge right about now?
Yes. Oh, okay. Games are so anxiety provoking. I'm excited.
So people say the hardest part of writing a memoir is coming up with the right title. You have a great title. How long did it take you to come up with your title?
Way too long.
Yeah.
It was a real point of stress. And then a autocorrect on my telephone when I was texting, an autocorrect came up with it.
Are you serious?
Yeah, because someone was typing me. I was complaining to somebody about what a bad day I was having. And he responded with, I'm sorry for all your misfortunes. And then he goes, oh, that's so funny. When I tried to type it, it turned it into misfortune. And he goes, you should use that for your book. And I thought, that's a little obvious. And then I took it and sent it to the to the publisher. And they were immediately
into it. They
were
like, fantastic.
It. Yes, they were like, sold.
Happy coincidence. Finally, autocorrect for good use.
Mm-hmm.
So in this game, Jonathan Colton and I will give you the titles of some memoirs.
And some of these titles are real and some are fake. And your job is to tell us which ones are real.
Okay.
Very easy. And if you get enough right, Vivian Leong from San Francisco, California, is going to win an Ask Me Another Rubik's Cube. And a copy of your book.
Oh, God. So if I mess up, I bring down, I'm the, oh, God.
No, you're going to be fine.
Oh.
I love.
If you mess up, you're basically stealing a Rubik's Cube from some random stranger.
I'm going to send her a mug or something of my own collection. I can't
I
take it.
I love that. That's the first place you went. You're like, how am I going to disappoint everyone?
Exactly. First of all, I'm sorry.
Okay, you're going to do great. We're going to read you the title. You just have to say real fake memoir. Are you ready for the first one?
I'm ready.
The Sex Lives of Cannibals, Adrift in the Equatorial Pacific.
Real.
It is real.
Have
you read it?
It's funny you'd say that. I was just listening to it on my audiobook on the way over. No, I'm just kidding. No, I've not read it.
So here's the next one. Incontinence Confidence, How I Learned to Let It All Go.
Okay. I'll say fake.
Yeah, that's
yeah.
pretty fake.
Yeah.
That's pretty fake.
It had a poopy, stinky kind of flair to it, you know what I mean? So I'm like, that just made me do a Kegel, that book.
Here's your next one. Uber sharing. Advice from an Uber driver who's heard it all.
Real.
Oh,
it's not?
God, no, thank goodness it's fake. I'm not saying it's not being written.
It's at least being pitched right now, I can guarantee it.
You know what? How I should have known it was fake is that it didn't have like a, I'm a grizzly bear, like it needs like...
You know, right? you know what I like is, I'm a grizzly bear, advice from an Uber driver who's heard it all. That's a pitch right there.
When I said grizzly bear, where is that going to fit into the Uber driver?
As a bear who drives a car, a lot of interesting stories are going to come from
that. Attacked by a grizzly bear, my Uber ride after.
Here's the next one. Winging It... A memoir of caring for a vengeful parrot who's determined to kill me.
Fake. Is it fake?
No, it's real.
Oh, man, I should have. My instinct was that it was real.
Yeah.
I'm really trying to listen to my instinct.
This book is about the author learns that parenthood is a lot easier than parrothood.
Oh, buona, buona, squawk.
Yeah. Here's your next one. Felt Way Insider, How a K-Street Lobbyist Saved His Soul by Making Puppets.
Oh, I'm so, I got angry at that title.
That's appropriate.
It's fake.
Oh, yeah, that's fake.
You can't really save the soul of a K Street lobbyist. This is your last clue. A Year Without Underwear, Exploring the World on a Bicycle.
A Year Without Underwear, I thought it was going to be like the tale of the yeast infection or something. Is it fake?
No, it's real. For his 50th birthday, a retired Air Force colonel takes a year-long 41-country bicycle tour. And I don't know where the underwear comes in.
I feel like it's a sneaky title. They were like, right. Okay, so there's four cyclists in the world that buy books.
Right, but we'll get all the no underwear fans.
there's a lot of people that don't like underwear.
Right, you want to like, I'm going to start titling all my shows like, you know, Naked Girls or something.
That's
you know,
right.
Lose weight, naked girls, free money.
you did incredibly well. Yes, it all worked out great, Lauren. You and Vivian Leong are going to get Ask Me Another Rubik's Cubes. That's right. We're going to give you one as well. Because you're amazing.
And, that's incredible.
And Vivian's also going to get a copy of your new book. Thanks for joining us.
Thanks for having me. This was not painful at all.
Was a castle by a waterfall with a pink and purple wall and a princess living there. She had no parents and was all alone. She got by on her own and she liked it pretty well. 'Cause she never wore socks, she had a pet snake, she bought a red guitar, and she ate a whole cake, and there wasn't anybody there to tell her what to do, so she did what she wanted to. Everybody knew the story of the princess who saved herself. Princess who saved herself. Was a dragon with a pointy tail. He was bigger than a whale and his breath was terrible. He scared the princess when he came around. Tried to burn the castle down till she caught him by his tail. And she tied him to a tree. The dragon couldn't fly. She told him he was mean and it made the dragon cry. When she finally apologized, she offered him some tea. He accepted it graciously. Now he visits every weekend with the princess who saved herself. The princess who saved herself.
Thank you.
We've done it. After a page-turner of an episode, we have actually reached the final round.
Ophira, are you one of those people that reads the last page of a book before you finish the book?
I do.
Skip ahead.
I do. If I get anxious, like in the beginning.
I don't approve of this behavior.
Why?
Because you're reading a book in order to be taken on a journey. Why do you want to ruin it for yourself?
Because I was the kind of kid who, when a movie started, I would be like, is everyone going to be okay? But do they have time to eat?
You can't take the anxiety of the...
Can't handle it. And then someone would just go, yeah, at the end, the dog is alive. And I'd be like, okay.
Oh, okay, good. Now I can enjoy the story.
Exactly. So this final round comes from an episode with Arrested Development's David Cross. He told us that he had a thing for trivia, so we decided to let him play like a real contestant, and he made it to the final round. The ending of this is so good.
Wait. Don't just let's let them find out for themselves. Puzzle guru Art Chung leads this final round, titled Sounds Like a Good Book.
In this final round, every correct answer will be one of Modern Library's top 100 English language novels of all time, as voted on by both librarians and the public. As a clue, we'll give you a phrase that's synonymous or nearly synonymous with the title. So for example, if we said, a goodbye to guns, grenades, and missiles, that would be a farewell to arms. We're playing the spelling bee style, so one wrong answer and you're out. You only have a few seconds to give me that answer. The last person standing is our Ask Me Another grand winner. For your prize, you'll receive a bag of great IFC swag, some leftover broccolini that David Cross and Amber Tamblyn had down the street. And as a nod to Arrested Development, a pair of cut-off jean shorts autographed by David. Suitable for you or the never-nude person in your life. And they may have been worn by me in the shower. Here we go. Drew, transparent guy.
The Invisible Man.
That is correct. Christy, The Noise and the Anger.
The Sound and the Fury.
You got it. Sergey, Ruler of the Winged Insects.
Lord of the Flies.
That is correct. Jason, A Book of Maps Slightly Lifted Its Shoulders. I'm going to have to give you 3 seconds. Jason, I'm sorry, step aside. David Cross.
Atlas Shrugged.
That is correct. Thank you, Jason. Jason is out. We're back to Drew. Courageous Modern Earth.
A Brave New World.
That is right. Christy, The Nude and the Deceased.
The Naked and the Dead.
That's right. Sergey, a space enclosed by four walls with a landscape.
Room with a View.
Right. David, the year that Los Angeles last hosted the Summer Olympics.
1984.
You got it. Drew, indigenous male child.
Native son.
Wow, yep, that's right. Christy, 12 a.m.'s kids.
Midnight's children.
That's right. Sergey, the Zinfandels of Acrimony.
Grapes of Wrath.
Wow, you got it.
He's really good, he's really good.
David, the circulatory muscle is a solitary pursuer.
The heart is a lonely hunter.
Yes. Drew, a pathway to the country where Mumbai is located. Pathway 3 seconds.
The way to India.
No, I'm sorry, I can't accept that. Let's see if Christy knows.
The road to India?
No, I'm sorry, that's not it either. Sergey?
Journey to India?
No! David Cross, if you know the answer.
Wait, can you repeat it?
Sure. A pathway to the country where Mumbai is located.
Oh, man. A passage to India.
You got it! David Cross, you're our big winner.
I decline the gifts. It's not fair. It's simply not fair.
David Cross, everybody.
That's our show. Thanks for listening. Ask Me Another's house musician is Jonathan Colton.
Hey, his name anagrams to Thou Jolt a Cannon.
Our senior supervising producer is Art Chung.
Narc Thug.
With additional puzzle writing by senior writers J. Keith Van Stratton, Josiah Madigan, Greg Lightman, Karen Lurie, and Kyle Beakley. Ask Me Another is produced by Mike Katziff.
Me Tika Fez.
Travis Larchuk.
Sick Hurt Larva.
Julia Melfi.
I'm Jill Fuel.
Denny Shin.
And his ends.
Ramel Wood.
Red Wool Mom.
And our intern, Camila Salazar.
That's me, Asia Lamazar.
Along with Steve Nelson and Anya Grunman. Ask Me Another was created by Eric Newsom and Jesse Baker. We'd like to thank our production partner, WNYC.
CYNW.
I'm Harai Begonias.
Ophira Eisenberg.
And this was Ask Me Another from NPR.